Welcome to Marvelicious Toys, hosted by Justin and his amazing friends, Arnie and Marjorie. We bring you news and reviews of Marvel toys, statues, and more, because not all Marvel collections can be bagged and boarded. They're not just toys, they're Marvelicious.
Hello and welcome to part two of Marvelicious 2015 Year in Review Show. I'm Marjorie.
I'm Arnie.
And this is Justin.
And once again, joining us as we look back on the year that was in our wallet, we have Debeed from Marvel Toy News.
Hey, it's great to be back.
Scott from Action Figure Blues Podcast.
Hi, everybody.
And Jeff.
I was half paying attention when you said that. For some reason, I thought that David was in your wallet, and I was wondering, what the hell is he doing taking your money?
That's how he affords all those toys.
Well, now that we've talked last time about the Hasbro figures, let's talk about what's kind of outside of the Hasbro realm. But one thing that I'm shocked that we're still getting repeat figures on is Big Hero 6. Is anybody else shocked by that? Does it seem a little easier? You guys see the movie? You buying the figures?
No and no.
It's a really cute film.
I know. We didn't get there.
I think when it comes to collecting, it's about as Marvel as Kingsman, even though Big Hero 6 was in the 616. But yeah, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I cannot believe they're still putting out figures, not new figures, but repaints. And now I've found there's a couple that seem to only live in Canada in small numbers.
Oh, good God.
That's the Stealth Go-Go Tamago and the Stealth Wasabi No Ginger seem to occasionally pop up on eBay at really, really exorbitant prices from Canada.
Which means, Arnie, if you just hold on, they'll show up at TJ Maxx or Big Lots.
Do Bandai Toys get there? This isn't Hasbro. This is...
Oh, everything gets there eventually.
Well, I've already cooled them, so we're good.
Of course you did.
Yeah, they will show up, because I remember seeing like Ben 10 figures there, and those are Bandai. So yeah.
The best thing about these Stealth Big Hero 6 figures is I was doing some research leading up to this show, and I wanted to see if there was any new news on a Big Hero 6 project. And I went to some of like the major film like websites and things and gossip sites, and a lot of websites have picked up based solely on the fact that these Stealth figures exist. I'm seeing websites report that there's a new Big Hero 6 film or short film in the works, and it's going to be dark and edgy because the figures in this assortment are painted black and have these dark colors on them.
And you know, Debeed, there's a motorboat chase in Iron Man 3.
You mean a boat? A speedboat?
Yes. Well, that's a motorboat.
Motorboats are something completely different.
I mean, this is what happens when you start looking at toys and saying, oh, this is what the movie's going to do. I'm not saying I wouldn't like to see Big Hero 6 come back in some way, but how often is it that they don't announce a project and yet they release the toys first? I'm thinking Christmas cash grab repaint job.
That line's actually been... I guess, yeah, it clearly surprising, but it's still been going, because, I mean, I've seen other toys, you know, popping up at Toys R Us, like those transforming eggs to turn into the characters that they do for some of their other lines. But it's just, I don't know, it is funny. It's not as funny as a Stealth Baymax. I mean, good Lord. How can those two words just don't seem to go together in my head.
So do you think it's kids that are keeping this line alive?
I did make Arnie buy a Santa Baymax, not going to lie.
So it's spouses.
So it's Marjorie.
Yeah, okay, it's all for me. Yeah.
My conspiracy theory mind says Disney's like, no, damn it, you will like Big Hero 6.
Well, if they want to do that, all they have to do is they have to announce that they're putting their DVD and Blu-ray into their vaults for a few years, and interest will build up, and when it comes out, it'll be a flood.
Or Baymax, the mature version, shows up on Once Upon a Time.
Oh, I used to like that show.
Big Hero 6 has been really popular, I think, with the Disney fans more than the Marvel fans. The Vinylmation Big Hero 6 figures sold out really quickly and have retained a little bit of value on the aftermarket, unlike most all other of the Vinylmation figures released in the last couple of years. And the Big Hero 6 Tsumtsums, those little super deformed plush toys that are at the Disney store, those sold out online in maybe an hour or so, and in all the stores they were going in like a day. So I think that Big Hero 6 is really popular with Disney people and kids, but not necessarily with the Marvel crowd.
Okay, the Tsumtsums. I don't get those. I am a sucker for, really, if you have anything that is plush and it's supposed to be an evil character or it's like a character I like, I will buy it in a heartbeat. But these, I'm like, no, I don't think I'm buying those.
I saw them. I thought they were supposed to be fuzzy slippers for my legends.
I thought that they were supposed to be pig versions of superheroes. I mean, I don't know why I thought that, but if I go to Build-A-Bear, there's bear versions of superheroes. I really thought they were going pig.
Oh, are those the things that look like little beans with faces and feet?
Yep.
Okay. Now I know.
How do you spell
about.
This so that I can Google?
T-S-U-M. T-S-U-M.
It's a Tsum Tsum Nami.
Oh, they're cute.
They're expensive for what they are, too.
I was going to say, well, they're $28 in Australia.
Oh, Jesus, God, it sucks living there. First the water, now the $28 action figure slippers. What the hell?
So other than Hasbro, what other licenses have been getting most of your money?
I have a direct deposit into Sideshow. There, it's funny because I get paid, and then Sideshow gets paid because of that whole FlexPay thing. It's like, I'm a funnel for money. I don't get to keep it.
But the FlexPay is the way to do it when you're buying hot toys and statues from Sideshow.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm also saying $700 a month hurts.
Yikes.
What?
I had a whole bunch of FlexPays kick off at once a couple of months ago. And I actually got a call from my bank saying, oh, we've frozen your credit card because we've detected suspicious activity, all these small transactions done from America in the middle of the night. And I was like, oh, no. At first, when they said suspicious activity, I was like, oh, my God, how terrible. And then when she said that, I'm like, oh, no, that's me. And then trying to explain to her.
Yeah, as a collector, all activity is suspicious as far as the credit card company goes.
I'm a toy collector, and they're like – little installments on expensive toys. And so, you can expect to see that activity for the next few months. So please don't freeze my card every time.
Sideshow has a ridiculous system, though, in that, yes, in one night I will get billed 8 times. $40, yeah. $40, $40, $80, $72. Why not just add it up?
Yeah. And that's what, when people are committing like credit card fraud, often they will start by trying to put a couple of small transactions through and see if they work. And so that's kind of one of the things that flagged that activity. But I mean, I have been doing FlexPays for ages. It was kind of weird that they suddenly went, oh, this is odd. But I think it was just the volume of them that started all at the same time.
Now you've got me wondering why my bank hasn't called me to ask, like, hey, why have you made 4 purchases at 6 different Walgreens over the last 2 hours?
No, you know what flagged ours is one of the midnight releases for Star Wars. Like, I think it was for episode 3. We went to Toys R Us, then we went to Target, and we spent a couple $100 at each of them. And by the time we got to the next store, our card had been shut off because it was like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Comic-Con, it's like a ritual.
It's
San Diego San Diego credit card turn off year. I mean, I can't believe I was at the Hasbro checkout line. Try this card. Nope. Try this card. Nope. I feel like, I went into Hawk to get to Comic-Con when in fact both my debit and my credit cards that I primarily use for collecting were frozen. So I'm like, all right, well, let's break out the backup. And
that is because particularly San Diego Comic-Con, a lot of things show up as like weird ass on your credit card statement when it goes through the bank.
That's in fact what I get when I'm looking at my statement. Weird ass $892.
Your bank just goes, what the hell is going on? You were in Illinois 6 hours ago. Now you're in California buying stuff from Bob. What's going on?
Well, I felt more judged by the credit card lady trying to explain what I was buying than I have by anyone else. In which she was like, so explain this to me again. You're a toy collector?
So
what you pathetic little man, you. Yeah.
What you experienced, Scott, is what sadly most collectors have to go through with their wives. It's just we all who are married on this show have very understanding partners.
Absolutely.
But I know many a collector who tells me, you're so lucky with Marjorie because my wife, I have to tell her I bought a statue and then I'm like in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I actually participate. I'm the one who bought you your first hot toy.
Participate is putting it lightly.
instigate,
enable.
Yeah, enable.
I make a terrible therapist.
I have a friend who one of the guys that was on Action Figure Blues podcast in the early days, who he had a mate from work that he'd known for years, and the first time he invited it around to his house and showed him his collection, the guy just said, "Dude, you're a freak. I don't want to have anything to do with you," and walked out.
Oh my God.
I know.
But the story has a happy ending because the guy got run over in the street, right?
Yeah, that's right. We can only hope. Yeah.
Yay.
But it's not like all my money is being spent on Sideshow. I really think Avengers Age of Ultron, the Hot Toys Edition, plus their insistence that you will own all 44 sets of Iron Man armor plus a few Iron Patriots. Plus, hey, remember Whiplash Mark II? You used to want him. Buy him now. Oh, Hulkbuster? Sure. It's a car payment. Actually, it's several car payments.
Yeah, the Figure Arts version of Hulkbuster, that's a car payment. Yours is multiple car payments.
Let alone the Comic-Cave version, which is a car. But yeah, I think Hot Toys is, this year, I'd been a completist on Hot Toys. There are 5 I didn't order this year because my FlexPay installments just got so crazy. I'm like, I gotta stop.
They did hit hard this year.
They did. Like, I counted, and there's like 20 comic book characters in Avengers Age of Ultron. They didn't give us Claw. They didn't give us Heimdall. But I think other than that, we got them all. And it's like a crazy high number. And then, of course, the Ultron Mark I, the Ultron Mark II. I do think they released like close to 20 Hot Toys in a very short time for pre-order for Age of Ultron. And then the Ant-Man, and then the... Oh, by the way, Pepper Potts in a sports bra. That shipped, by the way. And we were right. There's a sports bra under there. You can recreate awesome. The Iron Man 3 scene.
That's awkward.
Bizarre.
I mean, I love them. I love them to death, but that's...
So you've been buying all of the House Party Protocol armors, have you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I did just order the Gamma armor a few weeks ago because awesome exclusive movie promo edition.
It really wasn't awesome, but okay.
Yeah. Whenever we talk about another Iron Man on the Action Figure Blues podcast, and I say, "Who is still buying this?" Someone says, "Probably Arnie."
Well, I'm all buying them, and I say bring them on. With Gamma, with Gamma being up for pre-order, we've only got 19 more to go. And I was tabulating it last night, and I was like, 19 more to go at about $260-ish each. That's only about $5,000.
That sounds small when you put it like that compared to what I've been paying.
But I need you to keep doing it, because whenever my wife gets a bit antsy about, you know, what I might be spending, then I've got people like you to hold up to go, no, it could be much worse. See, there's this guy.
Oh, man.
And I feel the same way about you, Scott.
Oh, no.
Because of the Bowens?
No, because of the premium format Sideshow. Are you all in on Sideshow? I mean, and you just don't do just the Marvel. I mean, I've seen pictures of that awesome art germ Poison Ivy. I mean...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I don't actually do Marvel premium formats anymore. I've gotten rid of all of those. And I was focusing my Marvel statue stuff on Bowen.
Well, that got real cheap real fast.
Yeah, it really did, yeah. So because the Marvel, there was so much stuff that I felt like I could never go back and collect, that I was never going to have a collection that had the kind of core characters I really wanted in it.
Hold on 1 second. Marjorie, take off your headphones.
Uh-oh.
Can you turn them
okay.
off?
Okay, no, you can just stay there.
Oh, no.
Oh, I thought we were going to gossip about her now.
I'm putting them back on.
I have been going back, and this year I got a Holy Chalice. Yeah, I got the Doctor Doom.
Is that bigger or better than a Grail?
Oh, Justin.
No.
Wait, I knew you got the Doom.
Yeah, I was.
Do I need to close?
But Scott and David know what that means. You just know I got it.
I know. Yeah, I do have a line. Like, I think I found that kind of line of, you know what, I just can't spend you know, more than X. And so when we built a house 3 years ago, and when we moved in, we needed a certain amount of money to do like our fencing and landscaping and stuff. And we were looking at, we'd kind of tapped out our savings. So we were looking at putting it on credit. And I thought, you know what? I can't justify doing that when I've got this stuff sitting here. So I sold all my Marvel premium format statues and paid for it cash.
I admire that. I agree. No one should ever go into debt over collectibles.
Yeah.
And if you can, I'd be hard pressed to sell my collectibles, but I don't think you should go in debt either.
Now you tell me.
I do have to ask, profit or loss? When you sold them all, did you make money, or would you have been better off putting it in a bank?
It was actually quite freeing, because I was like, oh, you know what? I really enjoyed having these, but I don't need them. And I wanted to try and cut down a little bit on what I was focusing on. So I have a new rule now, which is the only, because I have got boxes and boxes and boxes of action figures that I don't display anymore. And so I have a new rule now, which is the only money that I spend on new collectible stuff is the money that I make from selling stuff. So I've been going through and selling the action figures and things I don't, because there's a lot of stuff there that it's not really worth much to me anymore, but it is worth something to people that are just starting. So I've been having a ball, and it makes me feel better about what I'm spending too, because I know I'm not dipping into anything else, and it's all good.
That's actually a really good way to go with collecting in general. I mean, it's kind of like you do it and you sell them. It's kind of like you're just renting it for a while and you're getting the enjoyment out of it. And then you can just funnel that into the new stuff.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that.
Yeah. I just always fear. I had a childhood where I would see something I want, and to buy it, I would sell things that I thought I no longer wanted. Prime example, I wanted a Sega Genesis. So I sold about 25 compact discs at about, that's when I was getting like $5 or $8 a disc used to sell them. And I went and bought a Sega Genesis, and that was great. But then I wanted those discs back eventually. And then I had to spend twice as much buying them back. And in some cases, I got my own discs back from the UCD store at twice the money, because I'd like put newspaper clippings in them that were related to the album. And there's my newspaper clippings I find years later.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
And
it was a sad irony that now all of that is available pretty much for free.
Yeah.
And then I sold my Sega Genesis because I wanted something else. And then I had to buy another Sega Genesis. So I just can't bring myself to repeat the follies of my youth. So I hoard.
Yeah. I understand. I mean, it's a tricky thing, isn't it? That's why we collect, obviously, because we enjoy that acquisition. But it was, for me, it was moving. We've gotten totally off year in review. When I was three, I...
Which year are we talking about here?
2012, right?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. You know, we moved 5 years ago interstate, and I had stuff in my garage that I did not open in 5 years, all the loose figures and stuff. And that's when I thought, okay, these can go. I've enjoyed them, but I don't feel sad about letting them go. And, you know, you can't take it with you. I don't want, you know, my family to have to spend years trawling through stuff they'll never understand. So,
yeah, but I'd rather have it there when I go.
True. I still have a crap load of stuff. Don't get me wrong. I've got all the DC premium formats, etc. So, yeah.
So where are you putting your money these days? What in 2015 to circle it back around if you aren't buying premium formats? I'm assuming you're collecting more than lawnscaping.
Yeah, oh, for sure. So on the Marvel side, I guess, to be honest, most of my money this year has probably gone more into either DC or Star Wars Hot Toys, because I am doing the Star Wars Hot Toys and some Star Wars sideshow stuff. But on the Marvel side, besides the figures, basically it's been the Kotobukiya Bushojo statues. I have sat and hovered over some more expensive XM Studios and Iron Studios stuff and just not been able to pull the trigger because, you know, I feel like, you know, like you said, that's a car payment.
Oh, those XM Studios are so pretty. Pretty. I have the three art germs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I did prepay for the Ghost Rider at an immense discount for what's going in the States. And that's the Ghost Rider quarter scale on a quarter scale motorcycle. I don't know where I'm putting it, but it's on its way when it ships. that's been kind of a secret vice where I'm like, no, I don't buy XM. Unfortunately, I got in touch when I bought my Black Widow with a US dealer. And he calls me up and he offers me prices. And I look on eBay. He's like, well, that's half. Wow. I can't pass up that deal.
Dealer is right. I'm sorry.
The Diamond Select stuff I have enjoyed. The cable was a really hard thing for me to pass up just because I'm not collecting that, you know, that line anymore. But I love the Marvel Select retro cable that came out. I thought that was really groovy.
It's an awesome figure. They did some great stuff this year. I am kicking myself up and down the street for not pre-ordering Carnage because who knew you'd have to pre-order a new figure, but those things are gone and like triple price on eBay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm working a new conspiracy theory, Arnie. Since the last time we talked about that, I did run around a few of my local comic shops and a few other places that carry selects. And what I'm hearing from a lot of people that order directly from Diamond out of their catalog or whatever is they got maybe one or two in initially over the summer and have been trying to reorder ever since and keep getting denied.
I actually reached out to Zach Oda Diamond about this. I was that upset. And he said that all of the Diamond Select figures are limited run figures. And while the demand for this means that they may do a reissue in 2016, once they were shipped, they were shipped.
I think high demand for Carnage, but also feels like maybe a smaller number than a normal run because that thing is just like a fart in the wind. It's, I have never seen one in person outside of the prototype we saw in the shelves, but I'm hoping that one does get redone. I mean, because that one was being redone for the fact that the one they had done before was so hard to come by.
But it's a gorgeous figure. But let me ask, and this is to the room, what do you guys think about their new statue line? Because obviously statues are something that DeBede, Scott, and I love, but I look at that Wolverine and I look at that Thor on his little rainbow bright bridge, and I understand that it's classic art, but I just, it's not for me.
I don't know, that Cable figure was pretty much a statue, so I guess I'm cool with it.
I think those are the words I would used about that line too, Arnie. Not for me. It's very classic looking, and there are some collectors out there who think it looks really great and really enjoy it, but it's just not what I'm used to, and it's not my particular thing.
I just looked up that Thor statue you're looking at. I don't think I've ever seen it. That thing is terrible.
It's something. And here's the problem with the Thor statue is the cover is that Thor and he's throwing the hammer, but he's fighting Silver Surfer, and they have no plans to make the Silver Surfer. I don't know if it's just because it's a Fantastic Four character or what, but you're left with half.
You left with Thor on the dance floor, man. That is just...
Yeah. I'm really happy to see Diamond getting back into the statue game, but I've always found their choices a bit weird. You know, go back to the days of the Asgardian Storm bust, you know, and that sort of bizarre stuff that you think, why would anyone want to pay like a statue of that? But this, I get it, but it's definitely not going to replace Bowen.
Well, yes, it is actually.
Not in my heart.
Not in your heart, but certainly in your wallet, because it does seem to be about the same scale as Bowen, and they started up right around the time Bowen stopped. So, I was nervous about a new statue line because if I loved it, that meant I was going to be buying it. And I guess I felt kind of fortunate that I didn't fall in love with it.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I'm open. Like, you know, I really want stuff that scales with the Bowen stuff. I mean, I don't think, you know, we haven't heard an official final word that Bowen is definitely over. But so I'm still kind of keeping the faith on that until the fat lady sings. But
my girlfriend hasn't called me in 2.5 years, but I'm not going to see other people because we might still be dating.
Yeah. Believe it or not, Randy actually did speak out and post on one of the forums that he frequents in the last week for the first time in many, many months. And he said that we're probably a year or two away from seeing whatever it is that he's working on, but he has plans to continue sculpting something. Whether or not it be Marvel is anybody's guess, but something. So 2017, 2018.
Interesting.
I look forward to all of us gathering here 2 years from now to discuss it.
And wonder why he went with Hunger Games instead of Marvel licenses.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where sometimes your personal life just means that everything else has to go on hold.
And it does, yeah. I completely respect and understand that. It's just, I think the licensing also became an issue. So things kind of got back together for him, but the license wasn't there. And it's so much harder to regain a collector. I mean, Hasbro's told me this. When a collector quits, it's so much harder to get them back than if you can just keep them hooked.
Oh, totally. You move on to other things. You know, like I've got such an investment in this stuff, it's going to be a hard thing for me to decide, okay, well, I'm going to do something else. But then if I do, well, that's it. You know, it's going to be too late to get me back.
Well, what happens is you suddenly notice you have a hell of a lot more money.
Yes.
And you're kind of enjoying it and be like, damn, this is good. Why was I doing that before?
Yes. Absolutely.
Does it work that way? I feel like with the collector mindset, like that money just goes somewhere else anyway.
Yeah, if I wasn't buying Hot Toys, I'd just have more XMs around. I know it. I might have the life-sized busts from Sideshow or something.
I find them creepy.
The life-sized busts? Like the Iron Man and the...
Oh, not Iron Man, but like, you know, yeah, the kind of human-y ones like Captain America or Joker or whatever. That I think, yeah, I don't need that.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yeah. It also drives me bananas how, you know, you're paying $700 for something and then they put a nameplate on it just in case you don't know who it is.
That's, again, for your loved ones, your survivors, when they're trying to sell it. It makes it very easy.
Oh, that's it. Got it.
Okay. Now, Dabid, you mentioned going a lot into Funko when we started the last show. How has that been for you? You mentioned the Hikaris, and then, of course, there's the Pops, there's the Dorbs, there's the Pop Pens, there's the Pop Keychains. What else is popping up?
Well, I did some calculations in preparation for the show because I thought that if there was one figure company who was making Marvel figures who might be able to challenge Hot Toys for the most total amount of money you could spend on their Marvel figures in a year, it might be Funko. And they didn't quite win. But they got pretty close, because if you add up the different categories of Funko Marvel figures from what was released in 2015, from the Hikari, there are $2,400 in Marvel figures.
Ooh.
From the Pop Vinyls, there were 62 Pops, of which 39 were exclusives, for about another $700.
I think I have all of them, so I'm okay with that number.
From the Dorbs, there's another $400. From the Super Deluxe, there's another $240. From the Mystery Minis, there was about $100. There was about $120 in fabrications. And that brought me up to a little bit over $4,000 that was released in Funko this year. And it doesn't quite include all the Pop Keychains and the Wacky Wobblers and the Mini Wacky Wobblers and those little pins that I don't know if anybody's actually collecting.
And the t-shirts. They're in the t-shirt business now.
Oh, I love those t-shirts. Those were $10 for Black Friday at Hot Topic. I got some of those. I was excited about that.
Well, and they just came out with a line of ink pens.
I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, they're in Hot Topic right now.
But with about $4,000 plus in Funko Marvel figures this year, I thought that was a good rival for the Hot Toys. I was all in for the Marvel Hikari for a while, and I love many of them quite a bit. I don't know that I $2,400 a year love them, but I thought they were really cool. I really like that Green Groot that we got. And I'm enjoying the Marvel Collector Core subscription, although I know it's not everybody's favorite.
My feeling about that, and I feel this way, we talked about this last time about the 2.5-inch Hasbro figures, is when all is said and done, it's more bite-sized morsels, but when you do add it up, and fortunately I don't, wouldn't you look at that like $4,000 plus and be like, I could have had a insert really expensive item that normally you say is too expensive here. And I'm not talking about landscaping. I'm talking about another collectible here. But like every so often that thing comes along, like for me, it's not Marvel, but the Han Solo in Carbonite life-sized figure Sideshow put out this year. It would be like, yeah, if I hadn't bought a lot of Pop Vinyls, that would be 3/4 of a Han Solo.
I mean, yeah. $4,000 goes a long way towards maybe even getting an original movie prop at some point.
You can get a lot of original movie props if you're not too particular as what they are for that money. I got freaking Bruce Banner's glasses from Eric Bana's Hulk for about $80.
And that's about $80 too much.
Yeah.
Nick Cage's leather Hulk. Ghost Rider pants were going for how much on eBay?
$5,000.
Wow.
Wow.
The one thing that I always think of when I think of Funko is if there are any fans crazier than Hasbro fans, it's Funko fans.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and I can vouch for that. Arnie and I went to the Funko Fun Days at Comic-Con this year, and it made Mumbai look like a Mennonite convention. It was, oh, my gosh. Okay, first of all, there was, what, probably like 3,500 people there, Arnie? Huge ballroom in a hotel, like probably the biggest ballroom I've ever been in a hotel. And they gave everyone two free drinks, alcoholic drinks, if you wanted.
Get us all juiced up to start.
So they had also a big like catwalk. So they had a stage and then a catwalk that came almost the whole length of the ballroom.
A what? A what?
They did their little turn on the catwalk.
Ah, come on. You wouldn't let me do it.
And they started doing their program. They had some dancing. They've got a really creepy mascot named Freddy Funko, who just like makes me all kinds of uncomfortable. And they had a big guy dressed like him. And then they go, oh, here comes our prize patrol. And they had people in these brightly colored shirts who were throwing Funko Pops at people in the audience, and then people were jumping on them, and I'm like, I can't even describe like the melee that ensued. People were getting punched, shoved. A little girl got her arm broken because she was shoved out of the way so somebody could grab a prototype Funko Pop. Another guy got decked. I had people trying to
did apologize to him.
Right, she had her arm broken. She was in this melee, jumping in with these grown men and women over this $10 toy, and she got pushed out of the way. She went flying across the room. I saw her get shoved, and she landed, and her arm was broken. But it's okay, because the president of Funko gave her some free pops.
I gotta ask Dabid, you do Vinylmation, which I do not. You do a lot of Funko. Who's crazier, the Funko fanatics or the Diznuts?
Vinylmation is sort of dead right now, but even in its heyday, when people were lining up outside of Disneyland at 2 a.m. to wait until the D Street store in downtown Disney would open up at 11:00 in the morning, and there would be these lines going down the street, and Disney security would come and throw people out. I still don't think that the Disney fans who were buying Vinylmation were as crazy as the Funko fans. I've got it.
Yeah, they're crazy. I mean, and they were like that on the floor in Comic-Con, too. They were back in the corner because they also bought Toy Tokyo, and Toy Tokyo now is not a great store. But they had a mess preview night with their line. Then they had decided to change how they're going to hand out stuff because their line was too crazy. So they're running around the floor, randomly handing tickets to people that may or may not be interested in buying Funkos because that's their great idea for keeping the crowds down.
Yeah, not to mention that, you know, preview night, they kept having a huge line issue and nobody there knew anything about whether or not they should cap the line or the line was over for the night or if people should come back later. So people just kept hanging around and lining up, and then they kept saying, nope, okay, this is the end of the line. Those people are crazy, and so are Hasbro people, but geez, the Funko line seemed to just be above and beyond.
And at New York Comic Con in October, they were giving out the tickets at 10 a.m. and at 2:30. And I would go down to the main room at New York Comic Con where they were giving out the tickets to see the panels like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Daredevil and things. And you would go down there at 9:30 a.m. and there'd be a big whiteboard up and it'd be like, line is already capped for Funko 2:30 tickets.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't even try. I was at New York Comic Con for all of 2 days and I decided that my time was more worth it. I went to eBay and I only wanted the Marvel ones. If I'd wanted everything, it would have been different. But just wanting the Marvel ones and maybe if I could grab a Star Wars one or two, I went on eBay. I paid an extra $20 per figure. But if you only have 20 hours at a con and you're going to spend 25% of that in an attempt to get a toy, I'd rather pay the extra $40 and be able to go out and have lunch with a friend like I did. But then that creeps up on that $4,000 all of a sudden, too. And it also, I get a little bit irked. I'm getting over it. 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I was livid. Like, why do I come to the convention if I just have to pay the scalpers? That was around the time of the collector minifigure at LEGO at Comic-Con. That one drove me crazy. Now I'm like, I'd rather hang out with my friends at the con, and that's why I'm going to the con now, and I'm not going to the con for the shopping, because when it comes to Funko, when it comes to LEGO, if it doesn't matter how close I get, I'm not going to get the things they have. Marjorie got through the San Diego line, and you still didn't get everything.
I was the last person in line on preview night, and I really want to credit the fact that I dropped a table on my foot, because that is the only reason I got in, is because I was on a scooter, like when it, not a Rascal, but like a knee scooter, and I think the guy had pity on me, and he made me the end of the handicap line, and it was still, I was there till close, and I got there like at, what, 6?
And there were still like 6 items I had, all Marvel, I had to go to eBay for. Or Barnes & Noble. I was lucky a couple of them did hit there. Because, you know, that's where I get all my Comic-Con exclusives.
See, and that's, and that's like, that night made me realize how not worth it it was. Because we were so exhausted and so battered and beaten. You went straight to bed. You were just dead on your feet. And Justin, I think you had a gas station burrito, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm still paying for that.
Yeah. And I had one of those packages of peanut butter crackers that you get out of the vending machine. That's when I was like, this is not worth it.
What about LEGO, though? I think they've been doing some really kick-ass stuff this year with the Helicarrier and all their Avengers sets. I mean, Quicksilver didn't get a whole lot, but it got a minifigure, and they've been doing the Spider-Man lines. They're not as crazy with Marvel as they are with, like, Star Wars, where if that was the only thing I collected, I might be able to keep up with their Star Wars LEGO items. And I'm kind of glad that they're not that crazy with them, but I really like the sets and the minifigures they come out with. I wish they'd do some of those, like, more small minifigure sets like they do for Star Wars, where I wouldn't necessarily have to buy the $80 Avengers Tower.
That's where Flegos come into play. I'm a big fan of the Flegos, where you don't have to buy the whole big set to get the cute ones. I just like the cuteness of the figures. Do you guys know what Flegos are?
No, I was just about to ask.
Fake Legos!
You get them at the con or on eBay, and they have a lot of characters that were never actually made. Like, I have a Hulkbuster Lego for years before the movie ever came out, because some guy in China sculpted it and sold it on eBay.
That's right. Now I know what you're talking about. And I've seen a Red Hulk like that as well, which I've kind of thought about getting a couple times. Yeah, I love what they've been doing. I sadly was not able to pick up the Helicarrier, which is something that, you know, we saw it. I go, oh, I must get that. And no, the bank account said otherwise, but I was still able to make the little miniature Quinjets from there. So I was happy enough. But the sets that they have, that Ant-Man set, it's like a special level all its own of genius. It just works so damn well. That ant, even with that mysterious pink brick at the end. it was just so awesome that you could have. And I was so impressed with the way that their helmets were, two separate pieces of types of plastic fused together to make a helmet with clear sections instead of just, painting the. There's no reason in the world why they had to do that, but they did it. And then you get the minifigure size Lego bricks, and then you get little miniature actual tiny Lego bricks that they can hold. If they could have done a train set, I would have absolutely bought that. That would have been, I think that may be to me the best set they did this year, really. It just worked on so many great levels. The only other one I bought, although, was the Hulkbuster fight, and that's pretty good. The figure's got it's a little too bionicle for me, but it was nice to have an updated Hulk. Like a more movie style Hulk, and I like the little the flip action things with the little clear U shaped pieces of plastic that you plug their feet into, and you flick them and make them fly a couple feet into the air, and then you lose them.
Yeah, they were demonstrating those flippers at Toy Fair. My secret shame is I buy the Lego sets, but I don't have time to build them right now. But Lego sets always go up in price, so I'm getting them while I can, and then building them when I can, which isn't now. But I remember seeing them flip those characters around, and I'm like, well, that is a way to guarantee you're going to step on a Lego.
But you know, like you said, they do a lot of the smaller sets that they make too, like that Carnage one. That's like what, $13 or so. That comes with that sort of, you know, shield mini jet thing or hovercraft, whatever they want to call it, and comes with a Miles Morales Spider-Man. That's a great set because it's. I mean, it's when that minifigure that they use for Carnage, you know, when they originally did it as Venom a couple of years ago in that other shield set that came with Nick Fury and his flying car and all that. That is such just the way they do. The symbiote tentacles and stuff with those pieces. It's awesome. And you can like spin them around. You can be like a symbiote, you know, helicopter propeller on his back. It's great. But there's so much fun with those. And they wind up, and even if you don't like the design of something, you can, you know, that's the beauty of it. You can always like, you know, like the little miniature Quinjets that came out in the poly bags. They, you know, they're not quite what I like, but you can always add parts to them and customize them. And so, you know, one day I plan to add on to the Hulkbuster to make him look a little bit bulkier and cooler. But they've got my money is when I can afford it. I can't really see them doing any real wrong.
Let me ask you, Lego guys, this. Years past, we'd been kind of confused by who holds the Marvel license in the brick building space. Because, I mean, Mega Bloks had Spider-Man and stuff like that for a while. Has that kind of gone away? Is it all over in Lego's possession now, as far as we can tell?
Pretty much. The reason, I mean, I've never read it outright, but pretty much, if you remember, when Marvel Mega Bloks were a thing, that was around the time when Marvel was basically whoring itself out to whoever would take their properties. And that's why we're stuck with Sony owning Spider-Man and Fox owning X-Men and Fantastic Four. I guess they did better with Mega Bloks, got out better than they did with the movie companies. But yeah, right now, Lego, they hold that. There are some other cases, though. Sometimes you see, like for a while, even while... I don't know if this is like right as they were starting to do Marvel Lego or whether they were doing limited ones, but Mega Bloks was still able to put out, you know, miniature the figures in blind bags. And I haven't seen those in a long time, but I remember, you know, we used to get them. And as far as I remember, they were still doing Marvel Lego sets at the time as well.
Yeah, there was a definite crossover there for a while. I hadn't seen anything really Mega Bloks Marvel for a while. So
I have not been able to find official statements on this. But I have been going back and getting some of the old Lego sets from the day. Very few, because some of those approach Doctor Doom with chalice price, and I just have eBay saved searches for somebody who wants to sell one without a buy it now of $18,000. I exaggerate a little. But Lego was huge into the licenses back in 2008. That's around the time, I think, when Marjorie and I were at the Lego event where they were buying us drinks and showing us the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull set and everything.
That was a glorious party.
Oh, that was an awesome party at San Diego. And, or no, it might have been
It was New York. It was Toy Fair. Yeah. It says at the Westin.
The things we remember. But shortly after that, there was a big announcement that Lego's was spending too much on licensing. And they were going to drop tons of their licensed product. They were doing Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter... they did the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, Indiana Jones, Star Wars. They were dropping out of a lot of the licensing deals and just going back to Lego, but they were keeping Star Wars because that makes them a lot of money. And slowly, they've been ramping back up with the licensing, I've noticed, especially with things like the Ghostbusters set, the Back to the Future set. I can't tell if this Golden Girls thing is just an internet prank or really happening, but...
Here's the thing. I love the Golden Girls. I don't understand this. I never wanted a Golden Girls Lego set.
Oh, I think wasn't that a rejected Lego ideas?
It might have been, but it keeps coming up. Like people are voting for it or something. I can never keep that straight. But I think during the time when Lego was saying, hey, we're kind of getting out of licensing, Mega Bloks was able to pick some of that up. They had the little kid Duplo-like sets that were Mega Bloks. They only did a handful of them, but they were nice, and they're actually pretty cheap on eBay these days. And when Lego started to get back into it, I want to point out, at least in the Spider-Man realm especially, it's very Ultimate Spider-Man, comic book Spider-Man, and not Amazing Spider-Man. And I think that Mega Bloks held on to some movie licenses, which is why we saw Spider-Man Mega Bloks and Captain America Mega Bloks when the first Avenger came out was some lingering licensing deals. But the fact that Mega Bloks hasn't put out even minifigures in a couple years makes me suspect that licensing deal is now over.
Mm-hmm. That would be cool if they were able to do that again, because, like, I mean, since that time, I mean, if you've ever looked at their Call of Duty line, the minifigures are incredible. I mean, they are every bit as, they're more poseable than Marvel Infinite Series 3¾-inch figures now are. A lot of people call them the best G.I. Joe figures that aren't being made. Just if you ever have like, you know, extra 10 or 15 bucks, pick up one of those Call of Duty like 5-packs of figures. You'll be astounded by how poseable they are. It's incredible. If they would put those with, you know, characters that I'm, you know, more familiar with and like more, I would probably be buying those up left and right. But they don't, so I don't.
Just to put a fine point on it.
Yeah. just to confirm on the Golden Girls Lego, it was a Lego Ideas that did reach the 10,000 supporters and review stage, but it was not approved.
Thank God, somebody had sense.
I'm not sure. They brought up Big Bang Theory.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I bet you it's B. Arthur's estate that's blocking it. She probably has some sort of clause that like doesn't allow her likeness to get anywhere near anything that would resemble a Star Wars holiday special type of thing.
That's probably why it won. Everyone wants to make an Akmina.
Right? It's the long runaround.
Oh, that's funny.
But to go to Lego, I kind of want to look to Scott and DeBeat a little bit, although Justin and Jeff and Mark, you guys keep up through the show. What about the statue situation this year? I felt that with Gentle Giant mini busts crossing the $100 mark and Sideshow Premium format now being far closer to $500 than the $300 they were when I started collecting them, I feel that I'm getting priced out of the statue market.
Yeah, I think there's two things. Certainly with the Marvel premium format statues, one of the things that I have been disappointed with is that the price is going up, but the use of mixed media, the complexity of bases, et cetera, is going down. So when you're getting, you know, a Jean Grey on the standard X-Men base with no mixed media, it's, and paying that much, that's where I think, you know, that you have to kind of start asking yourself whether or not it's really worth it.
I was actually happy, though. The Jean Grey was one of the cheaper ones.
Yeah,
at $360.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, the $500 ones, you do get the complex bases like that crazy, I still think if I look at it, it's going to topple Spider-Man.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the thing is that people are paying it. And I look at people that have got, you know, these enormous, you know, not just Sideshow, but XM collections, etc. And, you know, there are people that are either heavily cashed up or heavily in debt that are prepared to pay these prices. So why wouldn't you? I do think that, you know, there's enough coming out that is that cut above, you know, like the Spider-Man, the more complex bases, the new Hulk, etc., that to me, while I'm not buying them, are still value for money in the current market. But yeah, definitely, it is something that I don't understand how some of the people I see collecting all of this are affording to do it unless they're like selling organs for it.
Yeah, it's a very different market now than it was when Bowen Designs was around. Because when Bowen Designs was around, we were getting 3, 4, 1/6 scale statues per month, maybe a mini bust or two, and they were all somewhat affordably priced, usually in the $200 range for the statues. And now it's these XM statues that are $800, $1,000, and Sideshow statues are $500 a piece, and we're not getting nearly the same variety of characters that we were getting, and what we are getting is taking up a lot more space. Kotobukiya, I did love their 1/6 statues they did this year, like Carnage and Wolverine and Rogue, but they only released 3 statues, and I'm used to seeing like 40 or 50 from Bowen Designs, so that's a little bit different.
Mm. Yeah, that's, and to Scott's point, I mean, you say people are still buying them. I'm still buying them, but I feel that even if the bases are good, like you mentioned the Hulk base, yeah, but they painted that same Hulk body and base 3 different ways, and they changed the heads, they gave Grey Hulk a shirt, but it's just like, I feel also price is going up, quality is going down, and there was a period where like Sideshow was dormant, like we didn't hear anything from them except for Hot Toys, and this was, I think, 2014 for quite some time. They were shipping out the pre-orders they had. There were some crazy amount of pre-orders all at once. And there was a rumor that they were losing the license and they were doing a, hey, we got to do a fire sale thing. But now I also heard a rumor that that was kind of the case, but then they were able to negotiate a re-up, and now what we're getting is the result of the new contract. But I found myself, as I saw the prices go up, the repaints go up, actually kind of hoping that they might be done. I mean, I guess I could just stop buying them instead of wishing for their demise, but I liked the thought of having a complete collection and not having to pay $475 for Loki.
But at some point, don't you guys think that between, like, every single statue size that we've got, because we have a lot of different statue sizes. I mean, I joke that I'm going to come out with a 1/38th scale of something, but that's almost where we are. Are we going to see the market oversaturated at some point with, you know, you've got Hot Toys doing 12-inch and Sideshow doing 12-inch and Gentle Giant's got statues and everybody's got statues and...
You're right. If I look at the notes I put together and I tried to cobble some quick notes together for our year in review calls, you look at like Play Imaginative, they're doing 1/4 scale, they're doing 1/6 scale, they're doing 1/12 scale. There's the King Arts 1/9 scale model kits. There's so much else. There's Monogram Internationals with those little like 4-inch or 5-inch statues that are constantly broken at Toys R Us. I mean, there's so much out there. Is it possible to become saturated, or have we been there for years?
Oh, we've been there for years.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I think that the different scales, the different companies show that, you know, there is a market for a number of different companies to make a living off of the Marvel license at the moment. But it does, you know, it puts people, for me, who is too OCD to combine stuff that are made by different people, if you know, or different scales, etc., it does kind of put you in a bit of a corner. So that's, you know, one reason why I haven't been buying Marvel statue stuff at the moment, because at the moment it's all Bowen for me. And so if any money I'm putting towards that, I'd rather collect a Bowen that I don't have than jump onto something else. If someone does come along, XM has got some 1/6. Is it 1/6 scale?
Yeah, 12-inch.
Yeah, 12-inch stuff solicited. There's a Wolverine on Snow kind of coming up that I am probably going to get just to kind of see how that scales, because I think that could be quite a clever thing for someone to come with something that scales well with the Bowens. The Kota Bakia stuff and General Giant stuff I find a bit too big, even though theoretically it's the same scale. So, but yeah, there's scope. People like what they collect and they'll keep doing it. And
it's amazing to me, though, that it's just staggering the number of Marvel collectors out there that all these lines can be supported, because I'm a firm believer in commerce ruling itself. If this stuff didn't make money, they wouldn't make it. There's profit to be had across the board for everyone. I would think, looking at it from afar, that these things would cannibalize each other's sales and big fish would swallow little fish, but instead, every fish keeps swimming.
You'd think that, but I think you also have many more markets than we've ever had before. I mean, so many different places are selling Marvel. Remember when it used to be a struggle to find Marvel stuff when we started 5 years ago with Justin?
Mm-hmm. And you look at even XM Studios. We talked about them a decent amount this show for something that we can't even buy in the States. Yes, that I'm smuggling statues now.
That is very true. Yeah. I mean, the Asian market is a huge part of this. There, you know, there are, you go to Singapore, for example, and you can walk into decent sized shopping malls that are wall to wall, the kind of stuff that we're talking about, store after store. And so, you know, that is, we're not the only players, you know, in this market. And I think that there is a wide range of tastes in the Asian market that mean that that's why some of this stuff actually survives.
Well, and I think we're in for a big change. Think Geek has opened 2 brick and mortar stores now too, and they're owned by GameStop now.
Yep. We have a new chain in Australia called Zing, which is, it's got all the Funko stuff, etc., but it has the high-end stuff as well. They've got Sideshow stuff, they've got Hot Toys, all the DC collectibles stuff, etc., and that is popping up in pretty much every, definitely every major city, but multiple stores. It's exploding because I think there's just that level of awareness and interest in the pop culture side of things.
Or our generation finally just has too much damn money.
But, you know, it's our kids as well. My kids, like, you know, they've got Funko stuff on their Christmas lists, you know, things that they want. It's pretty amazing just to kind of see how mainstream a lot of this stuff is now.
Yeah, Funko I completely understand, but the fact that GameStops in New Jersey are trying to sell premium format figures, I don't know what kind of allowance your kids get, but I'm guessing.
Yeah, no. No. I said Funko Pop, right?
But I was just thinking about how all these other shops are starting to pop up, whereas I used to have to go to Manhattan if I wanted to see these statues on display or a con.
Yeah. I mean, I live in outer Melbourne, so not, you know, right in the city. And my local big shopping center has got Sideshow Premium Formats in it, in Zing. Like, I don't have to go anywhere to see it. I wouldn't buy it from there. It's a bit more pricey than, probably not by the time you factor in Sideshow shipping. I'm with that kind of stuff, I'm way too scared of missing out on something to not pre-order it. So.
Yeah, I suffer the same illness.
Fear of missing out?
FOMO. Yeah.
Oh, FOMO. Major FOMO, for sure.
That's why I paid too much for a Wasabi No Ginger stealth figure. So to go from statues to, and we talked about Legos, what about the high-end figure market? I mean, when I was listing all that stuff, I was listing, with the exception of Play Imaginative, I listed statues and quote-unquote model kits, but Play Imaginative, Figure Arts, MAFEX, maybe one of you can tell me how to pronounce that.
Yeah, it should actually be, a lot of people say MAFEX, but it probably should be MAFEX because it stands for Miracle Action Figure EX.
Okay, yeah, so MAFEX.
I said MAFEX in my head, yeah.
I always said Mass FX as if I had it added a letter in there.
You're wrong, Arnie.
Yes. But there's a lot more action figures out there. I mean, we talked last show about how great the Legends were and how, in my mind, I realized I was kind of neglecting my first wife of 3¾-inch Marvel figures for the new wife of Marvel Legends. But recently, I got some Play Imaginative steel in my hands that make Legends look like kids' toys.
Wait a second. What day is this? You've got Play Imaginative stuff?
Oh, yes.
You're getting the pictures tomorrow, Jeff.
Oh. He bought a new camera for it, Jeff.
Wow.
No, that was for the Sentinel, and Jeff gets all those pictures.
Yeah.
I was able to get the Mark 42 Iron Man, the War Machine Mark II, and the Shotgun Armor Iron Man. I could have gotten the Iron Patriot this way too, except we'd already prepaid, just by going to Big Bad Toy Store and placing an order. And let me tell you, I'm glad I went there, because 50% of mine were broken. One had parts completely missing, and the other had all the electronics not working.
Wow.
But they're gorgeous figures. There's just, I still think, some quality control issues. But Justin and I kind of stood on opposite sides. I think Justin's team Figure Arts and I was team Play Imaginative.
Yeah, I think that's where it kind of comes down, if I'm going to be 100% honest with myself. It's just overall, I felt like the Figure Arts
exist.
And therefore, no, just, you know, a more solid feeling figure, even though it's not as much diecast parts as the Play Imaginatives. But I've kind of slowly over the course of this year look across my desk and realize how many Figure Arts I have bought. I don't know if I intended to, but I ended up with the entire Avengers lineup. You know, that's kind of crazy. I have a Thor, and I said I would never buy a human Figure Arts because I thought they looked weird.
But, and Cap too, right?
Yeah, I have Cap and Hulk and the Mark 47 or whatever it is and the whole...
Wait, which Mark is it? Is it a 43 or 45?
45, whatever the one he ended up in at the end of Ultron.
Oh, okay. I haven't been able to find that one yet. Cool. Glad it's out.
But yeah, I guess, you know, I went into this line kind of picking and choosing here and there. And I think going forward with the Figure Arts, what I'm going to do is I'm going to stick to basically the armored figures or ones where there's not too much face showing. Because I think we reviewed Cap, did we not?
We did not.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe we talked about him slightly, but
I think we did when he went up for order, but I know that I opened my box, went, oh, that's really cool, and then have put him in the photo studio to get to.
I mean, Cap is a human, but his face is mostly covered, so I can kind of go with that one. But the Thor, man, he stands at the back of my figure arts lineup. Something weird about that hair and the face and all that, but...
Yeah, I'm waiting for, you can get the, I shouldn't say this, but, like, if you go on eBay, there's you know, decent-ish bootlegs of both Figure Arts Hulk and of the Mafex, I'm sorry, not the Mafex, the Figma, Thor, and also the Captain America from the first Avengers movie. The Thor one is one that's in his full armor, though, so that would probably be from Thor, or I can't remember if he had armor in Dark World or not, but it's not the bare arms version that was in the Avengers movie.
Right.
But the point I'm getting to is that the head on that one is actually, I think, better than the Figure Arts head. And, you know, it's got like two different ones with slightly different hair sculpting. Like one has the hair kind of flying out a little bit at the ends, which looks weird. But, you know, if you have it in the, I guess it's like made for a specific action pose to make it look like it's billowing out. But yeah, I kind of hear you on that. Although pretty much all the Figure Arts that I have are from, you know, Japanese series. And so their faces are generally masks anyway. So, but it's really the bodies and the detail and the sculpting and the posing. That's a really solid point to those. And Cap was like, yeah, I can hear you on the human faces thing. His was like, just, I don't know. To him, I'll just say right now that this is my figure of the year, period. He's just the way they gave him the angry head and the three sets of eyes that you can, you know, position around to have him looking either straight, forward, left or right.
It's just, that is the weirdest feature I've ever seen on an action figure, by the way.
I know. I've seen, because I have, you know, like on Hot Toys, some of them, they have that PERS eye system that lets you pose them and then, like, you know, close up the head. But I guess, you know, this is, it does the same trick, and it probably costs a lot less to just produce three little PVC pieces. But yeah, it is kind of fun to just have those, like, you know, you can have him like holding his other eyes and his open hand if you want to. But it's just, I mean, something like this, it's like when we first started seeing actual pictures of Cap's costume from Age of Ultron, I was, you know, looking at, like, you know, what is all this red trim? I mean, it looked ridiculous. But this figure is so good. It's so well done. It's so well sculpted. It's so well painted that it makes all that look good. Also, you know, the colors that they use are very dark and very muted, and that's a big help on it. You know, except of course the white. But it's just, I mean, the first thing I did once I got him was I had to go out and I had to buy a Tamashii Stage Act stage stand, and I had to find a specific one with a blue base. So I've got him on there, and you can, you know, have him. I have him like in some sort of pose after he's just thrown the shield, and then I have the shield on another arm, stretched out as far as it can go, which unfortunately isn't, it's only a couple of inches, but it does a trick. But it's stuff like that that that's, to me, that's what the line is all about. That's what makes it worth the extra money that you pay for it. Although I did learn this year, I'm going to, from this point on, just pre-order everything through HLJ. And then, you know, as soon as it comes out.
I was just saying, don't give
me, I will pre-order them through whatever available source.
Right.
But yeah, because it's a lot of these are by the people who collect them in general. They're, you know, they pre-sell out almost immediately, usually within, you know, a day, depending on what it is, could be hours. And then if you're lucky, other places will, you know, as it gets closer to the actual date of release for the figure, they might, you know, have some cancellations and free up some more orders for you to jump in on. That's how I was able to get one of the Star Wars figure arts earlier this year. That's what I'm going to have to do for Kylo Ren, I guess, and Captain Phasma. But the they're also a hell of a lot cheaper. It's so much easier to just, I mean, Darth Maul is an example. He's like $45 and then like another $9 for shipping. And it got here like a week after it was released. So, well,
it's interesting you talk about the price, because some of these, you're right. It's like there's a very quick roller coaster. It's like they get announced and then they go for pre-order and the pre-order sells out. And then there's this time period between release and them starting to actually hit over in the States where the price just goes through the roof. And then they're either gone for good and that price stays up there, or they come back down and the prices are below retail.
Yeah, it's because once in a while Bandai does a reissue. Not very often, but, you know, some things do get come around again. So far, I don't think they've done any for their Marvel ones, and Star Wars obviously hasn't been around long enough for that to happen. But the it's like with that, when you compare like this Captain America, like I had to buy him at my local store where I've usually, you know, bought figure arts, but not, you know, things that are, hey, just came out just now. And he wound up, you know, with tax being like $71 or so, which is less than, you know, what I paid for. Well, actually, I guess it's about the same as what I paid for, you know, the Iron Man Mark VI and the War Machine a couple, you know, a year or two ago. But I'm not comfortable with that anymore. So if I can get something for like, you know, under 60 or around 50, you know, shipped, then I'll just go the pre-order route from now on. Hmm. They're still worth it though. I mean, it's just night and day.
The one thing that I think that really takes the figure arts into being my favorite line over the Play Imaginative Super Alloy stuff is they have very similar articulation. We talked about it on a previous show where we reviewed them side by side. But on all the figure art stuff, the articulation seems nice and tight. Like, I have never had a problem with, like, a joint getting loose or not wanting to stay in place. Where on my one example of my Super Alloy figure, I have a leg that just shimmies around. Like, it'll do a 360 spin if you look at it wrong. Mm. So there's some quality issues there as far as the articulation goes that really make figure arts seem more quality to me.
As far as the articulation goes on the Super Alloy, what I can say is four for four figures, yeah, two I had to return, but none of them had articulation issues. One did have a leg that decided it wanted to slide down the peg, but it would never happen during display. It just happened when I was posing it, and it didn't fall off or anything. But I can only hope that my replacement figures, when they get here, don't suddenly have that problem. But I'll grant you this, the figure arts, I mean, I'm not dissing them. I love the light up and I love the die cast of the Play Imaginative, but the figure arts have a greater range of motion in every joint. And we discussed that on the show, how you can just get more realistic human poses out of the figure arts. You can get movie poses out of that the Play Imaginative, you just don't have that range of motion. It's the difference between having a 5-year-old striking a crazy pose and having an 85-year-old striking that same trying pose.
That's a very strange mental picture you just painted.
Well, I guess you're going with the 85-year-old probably has some die-cast metal hip implants.
And light-up features in his chest for the pacemaker.
But yeah, I mean, I love the figure arts as well. I just also think that the high-end action figure market, we mentioned the Asian market being so important, but I think finally Americans are coming around on these higher-end figures. You mentioned the Star Wars figure arts figures, and I was thinking also about the Mafex figures and all that. When we first started talking about these on Star Wars Action News and Marvelicious Toys, I remember just the sheer, what? You want to pay how much for a figure? Because I pay $12 for it. And now more and more people are starting to realize, oh, that's really effing cool. I'm going to buy one of those now.
Exactly.
I think that kind of high-end collector mentality that I feel the Japanese have really been known for, and maybe other Asian cultures, but I know the Japanese specifically have a crazy toy-buying adult culture. We're finally starting to see that appreciation of quality over here, where people will pay that extra amount. And truthfully, I mean, Scott was talking about the space issues with the statues. For the price of a single premium format, you could buy literally 10 figure arts figures. You could use the same space for literally 10, and now you've got a really diverse collection.
So do it, is what Arnie's saying.
Yeah, take that, statue buyers.
I think we have to start looking at other options because of money, of space, etc. Like, I've been quite interested in the 1/12 scale articulated clothed figures that Mezco and 3A are doing, which are, you know, they haven't got any Marvel properties there yet, but they are, you know, could be a Hot Toys alternative. They're articulated, they've got the, you know, fabric costumes, etc., but obviously a smaller price tag and less display and storage space required.
Are you referring to the Mezco 1/12 line?
Yeah, that's right. So there's the 1/12 collective, and then 3A is doing some stuff as well. They've got Judge Dredd and Yeah. Mezco's doing Judge Dredd as well.
I really want Mezco to get a Marvel license. I got the Batman from Comic-Con this year, and that is an impressive little toy.
Oh, it's amazing. Like, and the articulation, the posing, what you can do with it is phenomenal. And, you know, not a horrendous price tag. So there's definitely more SKUs coming, you know, in terms of what Kotobukiya is doing, in terms of what Mezco is doing, that are smaller scale, more budget friendly, that I think could, you know, be an alternative to people that can't afford or don't want to do the whole statue slippery slope.
Now I see that Square Enix is getting into the Marvel line too. Is this Venom the first of a Marvel line in the Square Enix? Kai?
There's a few before that. There's a Spider-Man, a Thor, and a Iron Man.
I have looked at that Iron Man so closely several times because it's not really movie accurate, but it's kind of cool in an anime kind of reddish gold way. I can't say I feel that way about the others. The Thor's kind of nice, but I saw that Iron Man on sale for like $100, and I think it retailed for $150, and I was thinking about it. If it had been the Venom, I probably would have snapped on that one.
Yeah, the Venom actually is the first one to catch my eye. I guess I hadn't even really seen these before, but I'm looking at that Iron Man now, and that is pretty darn cool looking.
Yeah, they're fun. I have got a couple of DC Playarts Kai figures, the Aquaman, because Aquaman's my DC dude, and they're big. Articulation-wise, they've got a lot of articulation, not always hugely highly posable just because of, you know, balance, etc. But I thought the Iron Man, I've seen that in person, I thought that looked fantastic. And again, a price alternative to a Hot Toys or whatever if you didn't want to go down that road.
And you mentioned the 3A stuff, and I still think their Iron Man is a little Iron Giant, but I noticed the holidays some discounts on some 3A stuff that was like 30% off and 25% off. And I found myself looking at the Iron Mans and looking at the Dooms and thinking, maybe. I ended up not biting just because if I didn't want it at full price, how much do I really want it when it's just at a discount? They were they were really trying to psychologically play me, and it almost worked. But I think that they're getting nicer stuff. I mean, the stuff we saw at San Diego this year with the Spider-Man and those kinds of figures, they were looking kind of nice if you want more stylized and less comic or movie accurate.
Yeah, way more stylized, but yes.
The 3A Doctor Doom was the big disappointment of the year for me. I got the Go Doctor Doom, and I was really excited about it. And one of the only things that they really had to do to sell me on that was make a pure white Doctor Doom, and that's the way he is in all the promo photos. But when I actually got him, the figure itself, like the armor is white, but his cape is like this very, very light, almost lavender color. And it looked really terrible. And once I got him in hand, like I felt like he felt really cheap compared to what I'm used to from the Hot Toys figures. And maybe I'm getting a little bit spoiled almost from the Hot Toys. But I was really unhappy with Doom. I didn't feel like I could get him into very cool poses. I had a hard time standing him up with his duck feet. The lavender like cape with the white armor looked really weird to me.
Yeah. Those feet, I remember the very first time I saw these was at Toy Fair 2014 in a cabinet, and somebody, not us, bumped that cabinet, and all the Iron Mans and the Doctor Dooms just went down.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That reminds me, I don't think I've ever actually had my hands on one of those 3A figures. Now, Dabid, you were saying they're a little bit cheap feeling. Are they light, or, like, I guess I look at them and I feel like they'd be kind of a substantial, heavy type of piece, but I guess I really don't have any idea.
I wouldn't say that they're light, but like it feels cheap in the hand to me. It felt like when I was moving like his fingers around and when I was moving his joints, I felt like they were going to break. And when I pose my Hot Toys armored figures, my Iron Man figures, I never feel like those are going to break in my hand, or if those fall on the floor, that like a piece of it's going to break off. And with this Doctor Doom, I sort of got this feeling from it.
Yeah, that's kind of disappointing. I remember looking at the Spider-Man in that display at Comic-Con and not knowing if those were a new type of figure they were doing or just prototypes, because we ended up looking at them so close we figured out that they were pre-posed. And did those ever come out, do we know?
Not yet. They haven't gone up for pre-order. They showed off the two. They showed a classic red Spider-Man and I think a black and white symbiote version, but they haven't really said anything else about it. I would assume that those are eventually going to come out down the line, but they haven't really talked about it.
Hmm. Is that something they do, though? Like, are they all figures, and or do some of them end up being pre-posed, like, statues?
To my knowledge, 3A has never released a pre-posed Marvel statue. I don't even know that they have a license for that. Maybe just to put something together really fast for Comic-Con, they might have put a pre-posed one in there and stuck it in there and thought maybe nobody would notice the difference. Yeah. But I haven't heard anything about them getting a license to do Marvel statues or pre-posed figurines like that.
Okay.
You know, we really should mention those fantastically awesome Playmation figures.
Do I know those? Do I own those?
Yes, you have the MODOK.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, okay, that one's
oh, the Playmation. Oh, the, yeah.
That's what those are. Like,
yeah, I think it's skip that. Way, the MODOK only exists because I have to have everything that is MODOK, and I can't have something out there that I didn't buy, so.
It's within arm's reach if we want to review
no,
it.
No, that's okay.
Playmation MODOK? I do not know this.
It's awful. It's tremendously awful.
It's bad.
You know those monogram figures that Arnie was mentioning about, you know, the little PVC statues? Imagine those just a little bit bigger but costing $15 a piece.
Oh.
And they're made by Hasbro. I was shocked to see that they were made by Hasbro. I had no idea that Hasbro – I mean, I remember the announcement, the press, but somehow when they actually showed up, I saw them in the video game section. I thought, oh, okay, well, these are – who makes these? And I flipped over to Hasbro. I go, you kidding me? No.
Yeah, but they have been exceptionally discounted already. I mean, these things came out in September. They were 50% off by November.
Swing and a miss.
I have a feeling that by the time this show comes out, a dollar.
They'll be free.
But you wouldn't buy that for a dollar.
No, I really wouldn't. I mean, I've seen them so cheap and I'm like, I like Falcon. They have Falcon, but it's ugly.
Buy them and give them to kids that you have to give Christmas presents to but actually hate.
No, if you're going to spend $15, buy one of the Infinity figures. They're so much nicer looking. And I mean, it's weird. I mean, like, they're cartoon style, but my God, that Hulkbuster is fantastic. And then you look at the Hulkbuster, and granted, it's the comic version, but still, it's just, oh, man. I don't see how they – I mean, Disney still owns it, right? I don't know how do they make these – how do these two vastly – different in quality lines come up together.
Wow.
Well, then let's wrap up here. And I want to go down and chew on this for a moment. Of all the Marvel stuff you bought this year or received this year, if you pre-ordered it last, what's your favorite item?
What if we pre-ordered it 2.5 years ago?
So, Justin, are you going on record? It's a play imaginative?
Not necessarily, but yeah, it's up there. That one would definitely be up there. But I think my utmost would have to probably be one of the figure arts. I mean, there's been so many of them, but pick any one of the Iron Man figure arts that came out this year, and they're all up there for me.
Jeff, what about you?
Yep, figure arts, Captain America. Even though I paid probably more for it than I should have, it was still worth it. Awesome, 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 awesome figure. And mine even has like a bit of a defect in like one of the knee joints. It has the connector point. It has a tendency to sort of split apart, but it's still held in place. It's like it's actually a metal rod going through there. I don't know why it is, but I've heard it happens on some of the figures. But even with that, definitely figure of the year for me.
Marjorie?
Okay, it's not action figures that are going to be my favorite thing of the year. So FX Collectibles came out with a Captain America shield that we got earlier this year, and it is amazing. I can't stress how awesome it was when we pulled it out of the package, and I was the first one to hold it because I love Captain America and Winter Soldier, and it was overwhelming because it was so big and so heavy. And then there's another company that's been making them. King Arts has been making them. And we saw them at Midtown Comics. We're in New York like a few times. So this last time we're in New York over Labor Day, they were having a big like 30% off sale, and it applied to the shields. And it was on Labor Day that we saw this. We're like, okay, so we'll just get it and ship it. And then we're hemming and hawing. I'm like, oh, I don't want to have to carry a shield all over the city and everything. And the lady's trying to convince us to buy it. That, oh, there's a FedEx around the corner, there's a USPS around the corner, and we skipped. We're like, you know what, we're not going to waste the time, we're just going to buy it and have it shipped home. So we get home and buy it, but luckily we did buy it at home because on our entire walk back to our hotel, not a single shipping place was open on Labor Day. So I'd have been hauling like a 30-pound shield around New York and been really pissed off at life and the world and probably just ditched it in the gutter. But it was the Winter Soldier shield. So I'm super excited now to own Cap and Winter Soldier shields.
You would have been the most awesome person in the city if you would just walk down the street carrying that shield. What's wrong with you?
It was like 95 degrees. And there's inhumid, and no.
You have a Winter Soldier tattoo. Come on.
Yeah.
Put your back into it.
But here's the thing. New York City appears very clean. There's not that much garbage on the streets. But literally anything that touches anything outside in New York becomes filthy immediately. And I just did not want to risk that with my Winter Soldier shield.
Fair enough, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, what's yours?
Look, I mean, My Marvel purchases this year outside of figures have been pretty modest, but I am a big She-Hulk fan, and the Kotobukiya Bishojo She-Hulk that came out this year, I really, really like. So that there were four actually Marvel Bishojos that I bought this year, Jubilee, Spider-Woman, who I think was actually a previous year's release, and then Wasp that came out that's really cute, but the She-Hulk, I think, is super fun. So that would be my pick.
Red or green? Because I think they're both great statues, but the red one's face is just... I wish the green one had the red one's face, is what
I'll
say.
Yeah, no, I've got the green. I don't have the red.
Dabid?
We were moving all of my collectibles to the new house, and I was moving all of my many, many steel-sealed boxes of Hot Toys Marvel figures. I was thinking to myself, why did I spend an amount of money on these that I am ashamed to say? And then a couple weeks ago, I started opening my House Party Protocol Iron Man figures. And I was like, oh, that's why I spent all that money on these. These are the best thing that are out there. If I had to choose one, orange is my favorite color. Peacemaker Iron Man looks phenomenal. He's probably the most orange Iron Man that we're ever going to get. But for me, the whole Hot Toys Marvel line is my best of the year.
I got two words. Duck tits.
Technically, possibly a hyphenated word, but your meaning is still taken.
I now own the actual latex breasts from Duck World from the 86 movie Howard the Duck, as well as the animatronic Howard the Duck head and a number of other cast crew prop items. One nipple only. The other nipple is lost to the prop makers, but... And strangely, the nipple is not attached. I mean, it's a separate collectible.
That's just weird.
But when I mentioned to people that I had some production items from Howard the Duck, for some strange reason, maybe there's something about myself I don't know I project, everybody's question was, do you have the duck breasts? And it was like this point of shame. No, but I knew who did. I knew the guy who owned them. And I'm like, no, but they're in a very good home and there's only one in the world. And when he called me this year and said he was deciding to sell his collection and he was going to offer it to me in one fell swoop.
One foul swoop.
Marjorie and I had a long conversation about the money and I now own duck boobs.
Say it was long. I think I was like, all right, whatever, just buy it.
In his head, it was really long.
Yeah, like, I mean, we've had longer conversations over where we're going to go for dinner than we did buying duck boobs.
Yeah, I believe her. Well, it wasn't just duck boobs. It's not like I paid.
No. I mean, we have like duck, the boots that Ed Gale wore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the nipple. I don't even know what else you have in there.
I have one of the two animatronic heads made for Howard for the movie that cost ILM over $100,000 to make.
He did not pay anywhere near that.
No, it's not worth that much on the market because it's Howard the Duck. But I have to say, yeah, I mean, Justin, you previously mentioned movie props. Sure, there's no feathers on it or anything. They couldn't keep the feathers on, but... Now I no longer have to hang my head in shame and say, I know the guy who owns the duck boobs. I can raise my head high and say, I am the guy who owns the duck boobs.
We all have to have dreams.
Bravo, sir. Bravo. Clap, damn you people. Clap. That was
great. It's not mass produced, but damn it, it's mine. So what are you looking forward to most next year? 2016, we've seen a lot of Marvel Legends already announced. The Onslaught wave, the Absorbing Man wave is up for pre-order now at dorksidetoys.com. There's so many pre-orders Sideshow's been putting up over the holidays, because that's exactly the time all collectors have extra money, Sideshow. Hit me a little harder there.
Their boat always comes in around the holidays, too, because, you know, their shipping containers just always seem to hit her in December.
People think I'm getting holiday packages. Why is Arnie getting so many boxes right now? Yeah, Sideshow got a boat in, okay? It's 18 Hot Toys.
Well, personally, I'm simultaneously looking forward to and dreading the over-merchandising, at least the potential over-merchandising of Deadpool.
Ah, yeah, that's your boy.
So, yeah, I'm kind of tentatively looking forward to February, but at the same time, a little afraid that I might start seeing Deadpool on, like, kids' lunchboxes and yogurt, go-gurt type of things. But even then, that would be kind of an ironic, funny twist.
I keep hoping he ends up on the frozen chimichangas in the freezer section of the grocery store.
That'd be great. Mm-hmm. But considering it's going to be a rated R, at least PG-13 rated R movie.
No, it's rated hard R.
Rated hard R, yeah. I don't see many of those type of tie-ins coming. So I'm holding out hope that a Hot Toys movie version of that Ryan Reynolds Deadpool is going to be announced.
Scott, what about you?
I'm actually quite excited about some of the 3¾ stuff they've announced for next year, simply because it is working towards completing a couple of teams and groups. So they've been working on Inhumans for a while, and we've got Triton and Lockjaw coming, which is great. They seem to be working on the classic Guardians of the Galaxy, and so Yondu is really cool. And I just like cherry-picking those figures to add new characters to the huge collection, because they really have done an amazing job. So that's probably Marvel-wise what I'm most excited about at the moment.
Dabid?
I mean, besides the $5,000 remaining House Party Protocol Hot Toys figures, I'm pretty excited about that first series of Spider-Man Legends that just went up for sale a couple weeks ago. The Silverman head on the RC car, and finally getting Speed Demon after decades. The Ben Reilly Spider-Man that can be turned into a Spider-Carnage figure. And we're going to get our first Spider-Gwen merchandise next year in the form of the Mini-Mates, the Kotobukiya, the XM Studios, the Marvel Legends. So, all of the above?
Yeah, you mentioned Marvel Legends. My most anticipated thing from next year, and it was surprising because my initial thought was going to be the Hot Toys Hulkbuster. I thought that was really going to be it because I'm really anxious for it. But I think I'm actually more anxious to get one or two X-Men waves of figures out of Hasbro Legends line around the time of Age of Apocalypse, because in 2014 at San Diego Comic-Con, I was giving Dwight some crap before the show opened about Phoenix Force Cyclops, which Jeff will call me out on. He was the one texting me, "Do not bid again. That figure's $1,000. Do not bid." So I keep needling Dwight just in case they ever mass release it. So the person who did pay $1,400 for it feels bad. And he said that it was possible if Marvel let him do two waves of Legends tying in to Days of Future Past. And I loved the X-Men as a teenager, and I think the movies rock. I think the current moratorium on X-Men merchandise makes me more hungry for it. And so that, I think, is the thing I'm anticipating most. Because the Hulkbuster, yeah, it's going to be an awesome Hot Toys, but I'm almost saturated on Hulkbusters.
Wait, what? When did that happen?
It happened over the holidays when I found the Artist Mix Hulkbuster, and I had a whole bunch of Sideshow coupons, and it was gift card eligible and everything. And so I could have gotten the Iron Man and the Hulkbuster in that Artist Mix for like $90, or the Hulkbuster Cosbaby for like $70. And I went, no.
He's starting to have limits, Justin.
That's, you know, that's something new for 2016. Maybe by the end of 2016, there'll be more limits.
I doubt it.
No.
Let's not go crazy here.
Not unless Marjorie imposes them.
I don't know. Just so everyone knows, I give him no limits.
Which is right. The problem.
Which sounds like a cry for help. What he's
I occasionally like strain my ocular muscles rolling my eyes at what he buys, but I don't say, no, you can't buy that.
Jeff, what about you?
Well, first, a point of clarification. The reason when you were bidding, I told you not to bid any higher, is really it was for my benefit. I only had $980. I didn't want it to go higher. Just sucks my luck that it didn't work out that well for me after all. But yeah, you know, actually, like you, I'm looking forward probably most to the potential of some new X-Men waves in Legends. You know, there's still so many characters that they've done fantastically in Marvel Universe that, you know, they haven't done that. If they could give me a 6-inch Cable, that's just give me a bigger version of that Marvel Universe figure, that would be fantastic. That's one of the best Marvel Universe figures I've ever seen. If they could do that larger, which they technically can, because that's, I guess that's how they have to do them when they sculpt them anyway. But there's just so many characters. Even if they can't do, you know, an outright movie wave, it's, you know, when the X-Men Toys R Us wave came out, I only ever saw Wolverine, Strife, Jubilee, and Cyclops. Never saw Storm, never saw Magneto. And Magneto was the only one that I really actually kind of wanted. But it would be great to have them in circulation, established again. And, you know, so if they can do that, great. Barring that, I would like to see, I'm hoping to see what the actual movie wave of Captain America Civil War figures would be. Because I'm really hoping they'll give me a Black Panther that I can actually afford.
Marjorie, what about you?
I am looking forward to Civil War. Battle lines have already been drawn in our house. And I think we're going to get a lot of great toys with it. But I'm really looking forward to like maybe a hot toy or something too. But that movie's like totally on my radar for 2016 and everything that's going to come with it.
I maybe look like the restrained one when Civil War comes out. That's just going to say.
Very true. And I will tell you, one of my biggest disappointments is the lack of Winter Soldier merchandise. And maybe he's just a niche thing, but really all I got was a t-shirt from Midtown Comics and a doll that looks like a homeless person that you picked up for me, that stuffed animal. He's got crazy hair. You know which one I mean?
There's a Marvel Shop one, right?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. He kind of looks like he's a little bit homeless.
Well, with Civil War, Doctor Strange, X-Men, Deadpool, Daredevil Season 2, so much going on in the Marvel world that it's going to be another huge year. That is what I guarantee. And
no signs of slowing down now.
Not on Marvel's part, not on our part. So I want to thank Dabid and Scott for coming by. You guys, you know, like I said last show, we talk online quite a bit. It was really great to have you guys come over to our site from your own there. And for our listeners, definitely, if you want more than Marvel coverage, check out Action Figure Blues podcast at actionfigureblues.com. And if you want in-depth written toy reviews and my source for all Funko collecting news, plus so much more, marveltoynews.com. So thank you guys. Jeff, always a pleasure to have you on. It's not regular enough. And we will be back with our first regular show of the year, and we're finally going to do it. Justin told me over the holidays we were never going to do it. So I'm putting a line in the sand. Next show, we're reviewing the Hulkbuster wave of Marvel Legends.
Holy cow.
don't rush or anything, guys.
Have you heard our show? We go like 10 minutes a figure. We've been so many legends.
We Matt Damon it.
67 legends. That's over 10 hours of talk.
In our defense, they are reviews, not previews.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I was just saying, don't be too hasty. Take some time to think about it.
See, this works out great for me, though, because with the way distribution's been lately, I'm only just now seeing these figures in Targets. So, it'll help me make informed purchasing decisions.
Actually, I'm the same way, Jeff. I only, like, 2 weeks before Christmas, saw Hulkbuster in the stores. I saw Rhino everywhere. If I hadn't pre-ordered my case from DorksideToys.com, I was worried I may never get a Hulkbuster.
So we'll have that review and more on the next Marvelicious Toys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Marvelicious Toys. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help our show by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. There's even more Marvelicious content at our website, marvelicioustoys.com. At the site, you can see pictures of the products we discussed, find checklists for Marvel toys, talk and trade toys in the Marvelicious forums, and much more. It's all at MarvelicioustToys.com. You can see more videos and reviews by subscribing to the Marvelicious Toys YouTube channel. You can find the link from our homepage. We want to hear your thoughts on Marvel collectibles. You can leave reports of your latest toy finds as well as product reviews on our voicemail at 803-MARVEL4. That's 803-627-8354. Or email an MP3 or iPhone voice memo to show@MarveliciousToys.com. Marvelicious Toys is produced and edited by Arnie Carvalho. Marvelicious Podcast Video Enhancement by Andrew, Daryl, Richard, and Barrett. Marvelicious Website Design by Jason. Graphic Design by Justin. Photo Editing by Scott Curtis and Jeff. Announcements by Brock. If you also like Star Wars collecting is covered at our other podcast, Star Wars Action News, which you can find at swactionnews.com. If you want to hear reviews of every movie ever based on Marvel Comics, check out those reviews and hundreds more on the Now Playing Podcast at nowplayingpodcast.com. Marvel Comics and all that the Marvel Multiverse contains are the intellectual property of Marvel Entertainment Incorporated, a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, and no infringement is intended. Marvelicious Toys is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2016, all rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Are we going to talk about upcoming? We didn't make a game plan.
Yeah, we'll do that at the end of the show.
Okay, so you want to talk about 3¾-inch?
We did that.
Okay.
We're on to the show two topics.
Got it. Okay. See, I stepped out for a second and didn't wear my headphones. Because then that's weird because then I want to say stuff and I can't. Okay. So we'll talk about non-Hasbro figures.
Yeah, we'll just go through like the non-Hasbro stuff. Where'd my notes go?
Oh, again?
Again.
Get your shit together, Arnie Carvalho.
We're going to talk about the 2012 non-Hasbro stuff, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I think that might have been the bonkazonks.
Oh, God.
Let me see. What's the callback on these?
Oh, my gosh. I remember the bonkazonks.
2011. 2012 is when they were on clearance.
Okay, you ready now, dear?
Yes.
Okay.
You may begin.
Where did my...
See?
Well, no, what happened was something the page jumped on me all the way to the end. I don't know what happened.
You've been bazonkazonked.
Okay. Well, now that we've discussed Hasbro...
It's a whole new show.
Oh, it is a whole new show?
It's a whole new show.
It's a whole new show.
Okay, go ahead. The whole countdown thing.
Okay, all right.
The stealth Tamashii Gogo. Is that what it is? Not Tamashii. What the hell is her name?
Going to Tamashii Gogo to pick up some power converters.
Gogo Tamago.
I was going to say, they're $28 in Australia.
Oh, Jesus, God, it sucks living there. First the water, now the $28 action figure slippers. What the hell?
They got the Sheilas of the nice weather, but damn it, $28 for a sum-sum and it's out.
That's right. Our cost of living is higher, but then our dollar's not worth as much, so our incomes, you know, dollar-wise are higher too. So it all kind of pans out. And every once in a while, it works out really well when the Australian dollar was stronger than the U.S. dollar for a while. So you gotta, you know, take it all as it comes.
Plus spiders.
Yeah, like so many things can kill you down there.
Oh, for sure. Spiders is just the beginning. The birds can kill you here.
It's
The birds, the spiders can kill you, but nothing will kill you faster in Australia than the action figure prices.
Very true.
You have Bindi Irwin and Chris Hemsworth in your land. It's unfair.
Didn't they just return home? Aren't they from Australia?
Yeah.
The Hemsworth? Yeah.
Yeah. I think actually Chris Hemsworth put that like in his contract that he wanted to film down there or something.
Hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But that,
maybe Bindi's going to be in Thor 3.
Oh, God, I hope not.
I love Bindi.
Okay.
She's adorable.
You can have her.
Hate her.
Her dad was not as popular here as he was in the States.
Oh.
Yeah. So, because it's a bit of an anachronism, you know? So probably a bit more of a, you know, national joke here. really popular in the US, but, you know, God rest his Stingray murdered soul.
I didn't have an affinity for her dad or anything. I mean, like, his show was on, like, whoop-de-doo, but she was on Dancing with the Stars recently, and she was just so adorable and so much fun.
Are we talking toys?
Yes.
All right.
We are. Okay.
I didn't realize this was Marvelicious with the Stars here.
No, see. America loves Bindi after Dancing with the Stars.
Next time on Crocodile Hunter Toys.
Justin gets impaled by an 18-inch action figure.
That gentle giant, super jumbo figure is going to get him.
Wait for Rari to grow up for 7 years and then she can replace you.